Public Safety will convene at 6:23 p.m. First thing on the docket, acceptance of minutes from committee meeting held on January 6, 2019.
Motion to approve.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next is PCR-6-19, resolution relative to traffic studies. That's me. It's not drafted, so we're going to hold that until the next meeting, so February 4th.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Correction, next meeting is February 3rd.
Well, why does mine say?
It's not updated. That's 2019.
Motion to hold till February 3rd.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next we have PCR, 16-18, tree damage claims, Councilman McAllister.
Councilman McAllister, PCR 16-18, tree damage claims, would you like us to hold? Hold for 1 month per request of the sponsor till February 24th.
Second.
Councilman Lattiser?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I apologize. What was the decision on PCO 30-19? I'm sorry. I'm looking at it. It's public property. Okay.
Got it. All right, so we had a motion and a second to hold till the second meeting in February. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. PCR-190-19, resolution relative to claims. Mr. Regasta. I assume Mr. Regasta is not here? All right, I know at our last meeting, someone correct me if I'm wrong, that the inclination was to deny him, but to make sure he had the opportunity to contest that, so the letter would have to go out. Am I misrepresenting, or is that where we're at?
I believe you are correct.
All right. You are correct, Mr. Chairman.
So we got to make sure that letter goes out to him saying we're going to deny and that he has the opportunity to contest it. So I guess we'll hold until... All right, so we'll do the first meeting in February.
Mr. Chairman, quick question.
Yep.
What's the normal holding period for requesting someone to come in for that opportunity?
So now the way we have it with the new resolution is that they get sent the letter saying committee's inclined to deny it, but they're going to have the opportunity to come in. He hasn't gotten that letter yet.
Okay. That I missed. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Brosman.
Right. He was sent a letter, but it didn't say the committee's inclined to deny it, so you have the opportunity to come in. Basically, we want to have a strict conformance to the resolution so nobody after the fact can say, hey, I didn't get that notice.
Okay.
It's growing pains because nobody's used to this.
Understood.
Process.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, so we need a motion to hold until the first meeting in February.
Motion to hold till the first meeting, PCR 190-19 till the first meeting of February, which is February 3rd.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And then public safety is done at 6:27.
This is the Intergovernmental Committee, beginning at 6:33. The first item on the agenda is the acceptance of minutes from the January 6th.
Move for favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The first item on the agenda is PCR 134-18, a resolution to create a charter review committee. This is
One second, Mr. Chair. Charter Review Commission, hold till February 3rd, please.
Request of the sponsor hold.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No. It's drafted. We're ready to rock and roll on that. Sorry. That was the wrong note up here. It's pretty clear. We're looking to form a charter review commission. There's some things that we've been talking about for many, many years. We did have a charter review commission set up a few years ago, and let's say that there were too many irons in the fire at the time to be productive. Over time we all learn, we all get a little bit better, and I think we're pretty well focused to at least begin the conversation and the dialogue about several of the items that we're interested in changing. And I would ask for favorable action to be able to form this committee and start reviewing some of those items that we need to rethink.
Does anyone on the committee have any questions or any statements concerning the proposal? Anyone on the City Council have any comments or questions? Anyone from the public have any questions? Anyone from the public have any questions? Okay, hearing none, I would ask if there's a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Next item is PCR-180-19, a resolution to the General Assembly requesting a waiver/exemption to ride regulations/requirements. Councilman Lattiser.
Hold February 24th.
Per request of the sponsor, make a motion to hold PCR 180-19 till February 24th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Last item on the agenda is PCR-184-19, a resolution relative to no commercial parking on Narragansett Parkway. I am the sponsor. I read the resolution. The only, there is a typographical error on line 37. It says, whereas the use of Narragansett Parkway was a commercial route, it should read, is a commercial. Let me Let me reread it to myself again and see what the right word's supposed to be. Yeah. It should be the, yeah, as. The W should be stricken, and that is simply a typo. I believe that's covered under the Scribner rule. I had been contacted by Representative Joseph McNamara concerning this issue, and I have, I know that there are no commercial properties on Narragansett Parkway. Their commercial deliveries are supposed to be made down Post Road, but that does not always occur. We have two schools in the area, two churches, and the newly renovated Salter Grove Park with the playground. It is an area where bikers and pedestrians and walkers travel on a daily basis. And the proposition is to ask the Department of Transportation and the members of the Warwick delegation of the Rhode Island Round General Assembly to enact a provision to ban 18-wheel commercial vehicles from Narragansett Parkway. And I assume from our yearly walk during the Gatsby Day Parade that everyone is familiar with the area. Is there anyone on the committee that has any questions? Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I realize that you say 18-wheeler trucks, but I don't see a weight limit nor a tire limit on this ordinance. Therefore, it would be a wide open, no commercial trucks. And seeing that that road is a throughway, and understanding that the family residence, which I would say a big chunk of Warwick is, I would request that it be clarified if you're speaking of 18-wheeler or a certain weight restriction. Vehicle. To say no commercial is a wide spectrum where it could be a plumber's truck.
I understand your concern. I think it's a valid concern. Let me hear from the rest of the people of the council, and then I will probably suggest that we hold it. Councilman McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You have one question that came up when I was looking at this is homes that have oil heat, they need to be delivered. Those trucks, would they be allowed to go there? It doesn't, again, really specify. So that was a concern that I heard on this.
Okay, thank you. Councilwoman Travis?
Yes. I'm going to follow up on that because someone asked me about like furniture delivery and stuff. I mean, you're talking 18-wheelers, so I can understand that, but there are other big trucks that come, you haul over that have to bring, you know, furniture, maybe somebody's moving. So there's, you know, when you say commercial truck, that covers a lot of area.
Yes, perhaps I can find some more language that is directed at the 18-wheelers that are making commercial deliveries to commercial properties. Is there anyone else at the council that have any questions or comments?
Yes. I have a question.
Mr. President?
What about the police department? Have they stated anything different as far as what they're suggesting?
No, they have not, but I have not contacted them.
Okay, so that might be a good place to start.
Thank you. Anyone from the public wish to be heard on this?
I have one thing, Councilman. Did we do a traffic study on this?
Excuse me, I didn't hear it.
Oh, I think it was just answered.
Councilman,
we don't have any traffic study on this, right?
What? I didn't hear.
We don't have a traffic study on this, right?
Correct. We do not have a traffic study.
Are we even allowed to do anything without a traffic study? I thought normally we stay away from that without one.
This is not an action being taken by the City Council to close it. This is a resolution. I think that a traffic study would be is a very good suggestion, and I'm going to ask for one.
It's in other words, you're saying it's not an ordinance.
It's not an ordinance.
It's a resolution.
It's a resolution. But a traffic study is something that could be beneficial.
Because that could lead to an ordinance.
That is true. But there are parts of Narragansett Parkway that are state road. And I've never been able to determine exactly when it begins, but it's some at some cross street right before you enter Patuxent Village. The state is responsible for that portion of Narragansett Parkway. And
except
I probably I should research that to find out where exactly it starts.
I think we paint the whole thing, though, for the parade.
Right, we pave it. We do that, and I believe that we plow it, but only up to a certain point, and I don't see the head of DPW here right now, but in any event, all of these questions are good questions, and I would ask again, if there's anyone from the public that wants to be heard on this matter, is there anyone from the public that wishes to be heard? Okay. After hearing the comments, I'm going to ask that this matter be held until, let me see. March 9th.
Motion to hold PCR 184-19 till March 9th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
That closes the intergovernmental agenda at 6:44.
The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs comes to order at 6:46 p.m. First, acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on January 6, 2019. Any comments or questions from members of the committee? Members, well, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next item, PCR 6-20 Omnibus Resolution of Congratulations and Condolences. This is not yet drafted. Do we have an approximate date? Okay. We have a request to hold to February 3rd. Do we have a motion?
I would move to continue it to February 3rd.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next up, PCO 26-19, an ordinance amending the zoning of the City of Warwick Sundown Corporation. Councilwoman Travis.
I'm going to move to a public hearing.
All right. Move to a public hearing. Do we have a motion?
I would move that we move this to a public hearing.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next, PCO 27-19, an ordinance amending the zoning of the City of Warwick, Zarella Development Corporation. Councilman Snappy.
Move for a public hearing.
Request by the sponsor to move to a public hearing. Do we have a motion?
I move for a public hearing.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, those public hearings to be heard after the start of the City Council meeting shortly after 7 o'clock. Next, we have PCO 22-19, ordinance relative to council office space. Councilman Lattiser.
Oh, yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be requesting favorable action on this, of course. And so, as the legislative branch of government, I think it's important that the City Council has designated office space, conference room space, certainly for our Director of Legislative Affairs, as well as all the members of the City Council. And this is something that has been, I feel, long overdue from a good long time. And I'll preface my comments by saying that we're not always going to be here. The folks that are sitting in these seats today are not always going to be here. The people that are in government today are not always going to be here. And different things occur and things change. Back to when the old annex building was being renovated, I remember going through the building at the time with the planning director, Billy D. And we walked through all that space, and we spent a fair amount of time coming up with proposed layouts and suggestions. And at the time, Councilman, at the time it was Councilman Solomon, Council President, was also involved in that process. And we ended up selecting what turned out to be a pretty outstanding space. And respectfully so for the legislative branch of government. At the time, Council President Solomon had selected the office of Council President. We designated the office for the conference room and for the Director of Legislative Affairs. And then we had a space that we were all very, very proud of. We were very proud to bring our constituents to that space to have meetings with our constituents. It was very accessible. Meetings with various department heads in the city, in our conference room, and also in the Council President's office space. When we went to the Drooper building, which was obviously a temporary situation through the unfortunate damage that occurred in the annex building, certainly space there was much more confined and more difficult. And what I'm attempting to do is just make it clear and make it simple for what the legislative branch of government for the City of Warwick should expect and should have as a minimum for its office space, so that the members of the council can certainly meet with their constituents in conference room, council office, whatever you want to term it, and obviously have an office for the Director of Legislative Affairs, and one that we can be proud of, one that the city can be proud of, and one that our constituents feel comfortable coming to and having meetings with any of us, and also afford us a space that we can be assured is going to be there in perpetuity for generations and elected officials for many years to come. And that's what I'm asking to do with this ordinance, and I respectfully request favorable action. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. I've read over the draft ordinance. It looks very well drafted, very well thought out. As I see it, it's largely a matter of housekeeping. This is something that we really should have had in our city ordinances for decades. To an extent, because office space doesn't move around too often, perhaps the issue could have been ignored, but I think that now is as good a time as any to enact an ordinance on the matter. And this seems to be a very well-thought, well-drafted ordinance that addresses the potential issues in question. And so I'm looking forward to supporting this. Do we have any comments or questions from members of the committee? From members of the council?
I have questions.
Councilman Sinapi.
So, number one, currently is the office we have 400 square feet in size, or are we going to have to get a new office?
The council space is 409 square feet.
All right, and even if this is already the case, I'm not fond of the idea of having a conference room that no one else is even able to use because they can't open the door, because it means like 99% of the time this is going to be a vacant conference room, because fundamentally we all have full-time jobs. We're not going to be in there most days, so I don't like the idea of a room going to waste most of the time. The room in question being the conference room, only because right on by the words of this ordinance, no one else has a key besides maintenance to clean.
No, that's not the case at all, Councilman. There's a key for all of the members of the City Council, including obviously the council, the Director of Legislative Affairs, and a maintenance person. And the office space is always accessible, and it is not my doings that there is a lock on one of those doors that is some sort of a security lock that can only be unlocked with a key. So the lock certainly can be changed to locks that you don't need a key to open it.
I would also add that it seems to me that there is enough flexibility in the ordinance as it's written that the key or key code for that to be provided to not just to that one person, but there's nothing in here that says that it is not transferable.
Mr. Chairman, it says right in the document, it says keys for these office spaces shall be issued to council members, the council liaison, and one person assigned to maintenance or cleaning. I think that's pretty clear.
Right.
And in addition to that, there are items both in the Director of Legislative Affairs' office and potentially, not today, but potentially in the council office space that is of value and that we're responsible for. And the Director of Legislative Affairs, not just from today, but going down the road in the future, has computer equipment in there, personal items in there, who is responsible for that. He or she is responsible for that. He or she is responsible for the use of the computer. And the items that are in the council conference room, if you want to refer to it at that, may be personal items as well. And I think as the legislative branch of government that we have the right to do that. And I believe that we also should be expected to be responsible for what's in that space. And you cannot be responsible for it if when you leave, either during the course of the day or the end of the day, you can't lock that.
So let me try asking the question a different way. If the room is not in use, the room being the conference room, and there is a need for it to be used by city employees for whatever reason, is by the words stated in this ordinance, is the intent for the city liaison or for a maintenance individual with the key to unlock the door so that the city employees with the need to use the otherwise vacant room at the time can use it?
I see nothing in the ordinance that would prevent that.
Is that the intent?
Councilman, first of all, I think that there's ample space in that building that can be used by anyone at any time, in that particular building. I would remind you that there is a rather large conference room upstairs in that building that can be used any time. I cannot help if people choose not to use the conference room or choose not to go there. That's up to you.
Right, I get that.
But
that's not what I asked.
Let me finish. So the room can be used by other people with the consent of or the approval of the Director of Legislative Affairs or the Council President. But no, it's not to be a room that anyone can just walk into any time of the day that they please and use.
So
just like nobody
ask,
can walk into the mayor's office any time of the day and use the conference table there or any other office throughout the city. You couldn't go to the fire chief's office and walk in his office or her office and just use that office. You would need to get permission. So I don't see it as any different.
I would ask for any further questions to be directed to through the chair.
So through the chair, Councilman Lattiser, I have just a quick follow-up. So By the text of this ordinance, no one has to give permission for that room to be used. So if that's what you want to be the case, you might have to put that in. Right
no.
now, anyone with a key
Councilman Snappy.
Could let in whomever.
Mr.
And those
Mr.
people
Chair,
with the key that, would be the council members or the maintenance person or the cleaning person who has the key.
That's not
Lattiser.
What it says. It's not what it says at all. It does not say that anyone can just walk into that building or any other building that the legislative office spaces are located and use the building. I wouldn't expect that.
Point of order, that's not what I said.
Okay, so what did you say?
I said, by the text of this ordinance, as of now, anyone with a key can let anyone they choose into the room for them to use it. And those people being council members who have a key or a maintenance person or a cleaning person. And all I said was, if your intent was actually to make it so that whomever wanted to use the room, besides whomever was let in, you should put that in the ordinance. Although, my own perspective, I'd rather it be so that the council liaison could let in whomever they needed to.
Councilman
if
Snappy.
If the room was otherwise vacant.
Councilman Snappy, the first sentence of the first paragraph as well as the first sentence of the second paragraph, I believe, address that issue. First, stating that the city council shall be provided office space, which is no less than 400 square feet in size. And then skipping to that second sentence, the first of the second paragraph, there shall also be a conference room designated for city council use.
Yes, I get that. Just like this room is designated for city council use, but a lot of other committees and boards use it. My point has been made. Go ahead and move on.
Mr. Chairman, so just to make a point of clarification, I'm not looking to set up a community room. It's not the intent. And I'm not looking to set up a community room that anyone can just go in and use at will. No more can, nor would anyone expect anyone to walk in the mayor's office, the chief of staff's office, the police chief, the fire chief. Nobody would expect that because that's the designated office space. Now, if someone should so choose or desire to use that space, a request could be made to use it. But my intent is not to have a community room. My intent is to do what it says, a conference room for the city council and designated office space for the Director of Legislative Affairs. Thank you.
Thank you. And although we might not all see it the exact same way, I do see some overlap with how the city council chambers, if we're going to use that example, are used, because although it is possible for boards, commissions, parts of the government of the city of Warwick to reserve this room at times that the city council is not using it. These city council chambers are not a general community room that anyone can book at any time. And for that matter, if the city council needs to hold a special meeting, then we don't have to worry about conflicting obligations because the city council always receives priority to use the city council chambers. So I don't see that analogy as necessarily being strained. Certainly, I think that the city council, its 9 members and the legislative director, having one conference room is not very much to ask. And if on the rare occasion there is a need for another part of the government of the city of Warwick to use that conference room on the rare occasion, then certainly there should be a procedure for that going through the legislative director and or the council president. But there's no need to get into that sort of minutia in this particular ordinance. I think that the ordinance is clear. But again, if there are any further questions or comments from members of the council, Councilman McAllister.
Thank you. Currently, we have an office for the council liaison, and then there's a second office, a council president's office, as a conference room that he's made available to all of us. I used it yesterday. So we have 2 rooms at this time. I don't know if this goes through the chair to Councilman Lattiser. Are we looking to add a third room, or is this, with this ordinance right now, we have the 2 rooms, just making it, official going forward?
So through the chair to Councilman McAllister, good question. No, this says it would provide the city council with an office space of no less than 400 square feet. And, I don't see this as, being this, mountain to climb. And I don't see it as something that is unreasonable or a request that is selfish. Nor am I looking to take over the Buttonwood Center for the benefit of the city council. So today, we're in a building that's tight. We understand that. There's other departments that are in that building as well. And I think the interaction of those other departments with the city council is important. And that's why I have put in here to be in the same building as those other departments, because oftentimes, and the department heads are here, oftentimes I meet with them, and I happen to use that office space all the time. And I meet with the department heads there oftentimes, and constituents, as I know some of you have, Councilman McAllister, you have yourself met with constituents. So the answer to the question is no, I'm not looking to grow the space tomorrow from 400 to 600. What I'm saying is, if we go back, as an example, if we go back to the annex building, would I like to see the council suite be what it was when then Council President Solomon put it together and was very supportive of it? Absolutely. If we go back into the annex building, I would absolutely love, and I would certainly look to amend the ordinance to get us back to where we had before. It was very professional. It was modestly done. It was done in very good judgment. And it was done at the benefit, or for the benefit, of all the members of the city council. So while we stay in the Buttonwoods building, Councilman, no. At this time, we're going to make do with what we got. And we asked the other departments that are in that building to make it work, make do with what you can. And I think the Department of Public Works and the folks that were working in that building, I think they did their due diligence at squeezing 2 inches out of an inch, and it's a comfortable environment. So, nope, not looking to be greedy here, not looking to ask for any more than what we have. I'm just looking to set a minimum standard for office space that is respectful and indicative and deserving of the legislative body of government. Thank you.
Council President.
Thank you. I appreciate Councilman Lattiso, you know, the resolution. Just so everybody understands, when we were given that office space, you couldn't fit a desk really in there. And I remember the size of the former council president's desk in the old office. And I thought it was more important that we, as council members, have a conference room. So I put a conference table in there rather than have a desk, because otherwise we wouldn't have had a conference. We wouldn't have had an office, you know, a council president's office with a desk like we had in the past. As you remember, in the past, we had a room for Joanne, and we had a conference room, and the council president had a separate office with a conference table in it also. So one of the issues that's creeped up is that we're a separate, autonomous body. We're the legislative branch of government. So to be able to have nine of us have a conference table, access to a conference table, and to have Joanne next to us is very important, no matter who sits on this council in the future. And the issue is that you also have to have some control of who goes in and out of that office suite. Because if you don't have control, you could have people getting access to her computer, files, information, and that's not in anybody's best interest. If somebody fires off an email or gets access to a computer, hacks in and sends a message from Councilman McAllister to somebody else, it's going to have your information on it, and then everybody's going to ask why. So I think that that's important. I think that it's a level of decorum, if you will, that you have to have among everyone. I think it's kind of a no-brainer, if you will, as to what we should all expect from one another. And to for the council to be able, for any council member to be able to have an access to the conference room for a constituent who needs to explain something in a private environment, I think is important. To have shades on the window so that when you're sitting there and it's hot in the afternoon, you don't get hot. That's just a level of common courtesy. I mean, those are things that everybody should strive for. I mean, that doesn't benefit any one of us. It benefits all of us. And so I think the resolution strikes at the heart of what do we all want when you go in there? And a lot of us have sat here for many years, and we've known what we've had. We've had a conference room. You could go in there with somebody. You could expect a level of privacy. Talk to your constituents. If you know, be able to have a key to get in there. It's an office. We're the legislative branch of government. We're not the library, where you can sign out the conference room. So to me, it's common sense and it's common courtesy, and it's necessary for privacy. I can't imagine people being able to go into offices of any department head. I mean, finance is locked. Maybe we should start having the finance department doors unlocked so people could get into those offices. So, you know, and I appreciate Councilman Lattiser putting forth the ordinance. And I just think that, as I said before, that this should be an issue that everybody is in favor of. If there's something that Councilman Sinapi is talking about, in particular with regarding an amendment which makes something clearer, I mean, I'm all ears. But the basic premise is that we all have a place to go that's private, that's not accessible to anybody else, and that everybody has a key to. I think that's the basic premise of having that. I would like to see shades for Joanne when the sun gets hot. I'd like to see shades for all the other people in the Buttonwood Center. I know that people have newspaper up on the windows because it gets hot. And I don't know if you've ever sat at our council table in the afternoon around 2 or 3 o'clock, but when the sun comes beating in, it's not a comfortable situation to be there, you know? So, you know, hopefully this is something that we can all move and strive to figure out and fix so we can all have access to something that is usable to all of us and is not accessible to people that shouldn't be in there. And I think that that's the goal. I'll listen to any amendments, but I think we should all be on the same page as to what the goal is and what our expectations, not only for this council are, but for future councils. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Chair, I have two quick things.
Councilman Corley has not yet spoken. Councilman Corley.
I have three things that I, one is a question. I am not too good on spatial design. When I'm done, can someone tell me what the current square footage of the two rooms that have been allocated to the city council? Second question is there space in the Buttonwood Center for the 400-foot square face space that we are seeking? And concerning allowing other city groups, and I'm talking about departments, if they want to use the conference room because they need to have a meeting, I think that a simple sentence could be added that the president may grant any request from a city agency to use the conference room if the city council is not going to be using it with appropriate notice. So that's my thoughts, and if anyone can say what the spaces are, I'd appreciate it.
Councilman Latta, sir, as I know that you're aware of the space issues.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Councilman Corley, initially when the city took back the Buttonwood Center and made the determination to open it, a large portion of that area is a community room, and the room is pretty substantial, and it is not used necessarily 8 hours a day. It's used at various times of the day. As far as the space you required or inquired about, that is the current space that we occupy right now. Initially, that was one large room, and the room was about 200 square feet. I'm sorry, it was about 400, but to be exact, it was 409 square feet. And when the designing of the building was being laid out, I was allowed to participate in the designing of the different spaces, and particularly with the council office suite. And what was decided was to put a dividing wall down the center of those of that one large space to create two spaces. So what we did was we took one large space, and instead of just having one office in there, we made two offices. And it was at the time designated as the city council office space. And each space now is approximately 204 square feet, each space. As far as a conference room being used by, or the council conference room being used by some other members of or employees of that particular building or in the city. I think the use of that space would probably come up with the employees that are actually in that building as opposed to here in City Hall. I don't think they'll be leaving City Hall to go to the Buttonwood Center or the Pilgrim Center to go there, whatever. If there's a conference room that is needed, as I said earlier to Councilman Sinapi, there is a very large space on the second floor of that building, which is a conference room. And that is intended to be used by anyone. So, yes, this space with approval from the City Council, and assuming it's not being used by a member of the City Council, certainly it could be used by someone else if they so choose not to use the ginormous space of the Buttonwood Center itself or the other very large conference room upstairs.
Okay. Thank you very much. I thought that perhaps we were talking about moving from where we are now to a larger space because it was too small, but if it meets the 400-foot limit, then that is satisfactory, and it's good to know. Thank you.
Councilman Snappy.
So two things. One's a request for an amendment so that we can get just the word all. In the second paragraph, shall be issued to all council members in regards for the keys for these office spaces. And that's the way it's done later on in the next sentence. So it's just...
No objection.
Any other amendments?
So it might be. It's more of a question first. So right now, if the intent is not to get additional space than we already have, then the second paragraph, that word also is kind of a problem. Because that's saying you have that 400 square feet, now also a conference room. So we'd probably have to tweak that a little bit.
Say again?
So right now, if the goal is not to have more space than we already have, like we're not asking for more space, we're just asking to make sure we status quo at a minimum we always have. Right now, though, you're asking for that in the first paragraph, and then you're saying shall also be a conference room, so on top of that 400 square feet.
Eliminate the word also.
If you had it say simply of those two connected office suites, one shall consist of a conference room designated for City Council use, or if you simply just had a little tag in at the end of the first paragraph where it says to be designated for council member use, just have it say to be designated as a conference room for council member use. And then you can just eliminate the first sentence of the second paragraph altogether.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I don't think you need to eliminate any sentences. In the so we have city office space, City Council office space, then we have the next paragraph, then we have the third paragraph, no objections to putting all, where it says issued to all council members. On the very first line of the third paragraph, I would propose the amendment that would say, there shall be a conference room included within the 400 square feet. And I think that should clean it up. If I was looking for something bigger, I would have been asking for something bigger.
Okay. Let's see. Councilman Lattiser, as part of that amendment, is that amendment also including adding the word all to the second sentence, as in keys for these office spaces shall be issued to all council members? The council.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I had indicated, yes, that's a housekeeping issue. Good, I agree. No objection.
Okay, so let's see, those two changes, it's over there, but it's not over there. So those two changes would comprise the amendment?
Yes, I'll make that amendment.
Okay, we have a proposed amendment. Do we have a motion from the committee?
I would move the amendment.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So the amendment would read,
Mr. Chairman, if I may, through the chair to the sponsor. The intent, Chairman Lattiser, is for the second room that's part of the 400 minimum square foot to be available for use as a conference room?
The intent is to have it designated as a conference room for members of the City Council.
And that the conference room would be part of the aforementioned 400 square feet rather than in addition to, which is implied by the word also.
So for the purposes of the amendment, along the lines of some of the dialogue that was happening between Councilman Sinapi and Chairman Lattiser, we could amend the end of the first paragraph following the word use to indicate that to be designated use for council, to be designated for council member use, including as a conference room. And then you could delete that next sentence regarding the there also being a council.
Where are you? I'm not following where you are.
The indication was that if we could delete the first sentence of the second paragraph, as it's confusing as it relates to whether this is a separate room or not. If you delete that sentence, and as part of the last sentence of the first paragraph, where you indicate that there are two connected office suites, one for the council liaison and one for council member use, if you indicate that that second room would be the council, would be the conference room, I think that addresses the item there.
Mr. Chair, can I just suggest that as the council has stated, that the last line of the first paragraph simply read, one to be designated for council member use as a conference room.
So in the first paragraph, repeat the first paragraph, the end of the first paragraph.
I'll just read the whole sentence. The office space shall consist of at least two connected office suites, one to be designated to the council liaison and one to be designated for council member use as a conference room.
Fine.
And then delete the next
And then
sentence.
You can delete the whole first sentence of the second paragraph.
Fine.
We have an amendment. A proposed amendment. Do we have a motion?
I'll move the amendment.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion on the proposed amendment? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Any further discussion by members of the council on the proposed ordinance as amended? Hearing none. Any comments by members of the public? Hearing none, do we have a motion for this ordinance as amended?
I would move favorable action as amended.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
And finally, we have item number 5, PCO 30-19, ordinance involving state law regarding unutilized commercial property. Councilman Sinapi, this is for first passage, not drafted. Hold to... The first meeting in March is March 9, 2020. Do we have a motion?
I would move to continue until March 19.
March 9th, 2020?
March 9th, 2020.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
The committee adjourns at 7:26 p.m.